We bless your name today. We pray for the musicians. God, as we are coming to the dining table, let your anointing flow and let your spirit move in the midst of the congregation. And we give you glory and honor in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we have some people that are dreaming. And we want them to share those dreams. I'm looking for one dreamer in particular. Ah, there she is. Sister Geraldine from Sierra Leone. Pardon me? Via Kinshasa. And Sister Beery, are you going to come up here at all? She might need some moral support. Okay, good.
Hallelujah. I actually made note of it. It's a bit long. It's like a 3-in-1 dream. And the first one, seeing it was a revival service. And we were here, and the song that was being sung was, it seemed it was like a declaration song that I will never be the same again. And this is a song that we are singing, and it appeared as if the girl in the wheelchair was being prayed for aside somewhere in front here, and during the course of the prayer and singing, she jumped out of the chair and said, "Praise the Lord." I never went back to the chair and was just mixed in the crowd while the singing was going on. Then I clearly heard a voice that said Psalm 62. And it was just quiet after that point of hearing the Psalm 62. I don't know whether we want to read the psalm or I can just go on with the second dream.
Oh my. This is good.
You want me to read it? Yeah. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall all be slain. Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul waiteth thou only upon God. For my expectation is from him. He is my only rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice I have heard this. That power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work.
Amen. And from there, it appeared as if there was a round table right at this stage. And on top of the table, there was a tray full of vegetables. But most of the vegetables were tomatoes, fresh tomatoes cut up on that tray, and a jar of olive oil on the tray. And there was a song service going on, with the song, In Him is the Fountain of Life. And behind the tree, there were three signs. It was written, love on one, patience on the other, and obedience on the third one. They were all on top of the table where the song service was going on. And during that service, it's as if people were supposed to come forward to the dining table. Unfortunately, it was sad that most people turned their back and they were going out. Only few came up to the dining table. So at the table, there was real travailing that people that were supposed to be at the table were not there. They had rather turned their back. And from that point where the assembly was, it appeared that behind there were three doors. Doors that appeared three in one. But you have to go through all three of them. There was a big one, and there was a medium one, and as you get in, it became smaller. And that seemed to me like the inner chamber. And right at where the assembly was, that is where the dining table was, there was a song that was being sung in prayer and travail, it shall flow like a river. That was the song that was being sung, and prayers going on to go through the doors. It didn't seem so easy, and not many people were really going through the door. That was the end of the dream.
Please stay here a minute. Peter, I don't know how much you said about her. I was in the other room when introduced her. This is Geraldine. Amen. Oh, can you hear me? Yeah, this is Sister Geraldine, and she has a home in Sierra Leone. And her home, she has so graciously opened up to us whenever we have come to Sierra Leone. And it's been a real place of refuge for us, and we just find it a very real privilege that she can come all the way here and be with us. She's working for the United Nations along with Sister Barry. Where are you right now? Are you still in...
I'm in DRC, Kinshasa.
In Congo, yeah. Sister Barry was there until recently, and now Sister Barry has moved to Uganda. But I think these are some very significant dreams. And Sister Rita, why don't you come and share what the Lord showed you when she was sharing that dream at the table this morning? Especially the dream about the table and the doors.
Well, there was one thing in the dream that was coming to me, and it was where it was the love and the long-suffering, patience, long-suffering, and obedience. And these are pretty strong words, you know. And what was coming to me, that there has to be death that we can truly love. There has to be death before we can truly long suffer. There has to be death before we can be obedient. And this to me was the place of death to this flesh, to our souls, before we can enter in to that inner chamber.
Amen. And the significance again is that not many people were making the choice to feed on this meal at the table, and it seemed to me that the feeding on this patience and love and obedience was the thing that opened you up in order to enter in through these doors. First the big door, then a medium-sized door, and as you go through those doors into the smallest door of all. And brethren, I believe there's the key here, one of the keys of entering into the Holy of Holies, which is what God has been saying to us all along here. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, sister.
Thank God. Thank God. Amen.
You know,
I think one of the things is that, you know, that we can all agree on, and that is love and patience and obedience are things that aren't optional. That it's part of the requirement. And you must hear the voice of God. You know, you look at the plate, the spread on the plate. You know, tomatoes. You go, You know, so you have your vision has to be proper, acclimated to the vision of the Lord, because things aren't all the way they appear to be. You know, so sometimes we're picky. When Elijah was given that morsel, I don't know what it looked like, but he said it was meat to him for 40 days. And he says strong meat is for those who by reason of use has their senses exercised to discern good and evil. So God is working in the body, and he's telling you there's requirements here. You want in the little door? There's certain requirements, and they're not options. You know, obedience is a key. The Bible said God is love. Right word, wrong spirit, God is love. God is love. God is love. Add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge patience, to your patience temperance, to your temperance, godliness. He said you got to add those things. Those are things that have to be line upon line. You're not just going to get a bucket and dip in them. You've got to add those. Bert, are you going to share your dream? I mean, it's dream time. Well, I could say what it was, but it's your dream, so.
My dream was really quite short, quite brief. You know, sometimes I dream these dreams and I don't remember them, and then we'll be sitting around talking and all of a sudden they start coming back. But in this particular dream, I came out of my house here in Mahomet, and as I turned and I looked to the right, I'm told that's south.
Wow. Yeah.
There was no houses, it was like a plain, and off into the distance I could see this very black storm cloud. It's the only kind of clouds I really see here in Illinois. In fact, the first time I came to Illinois I was initiated. I was staying in Brother Peter's upstairs bedroom, and there was a thunder and lightning storm, and I have never been in a storm like that before in my life. I was in this old iron bed, and every time the thunder would rattle, the bed would move. Hallelujah. And he had an old house, and of course it was creaking and groaning, and I'm sitting there praying, God, don't let it fall down on my head. But I looked out here and I saw this cloud. It stretched horizon to horizon, and it came up kind of like clouds do, and I could see the sky above it. Okay, or at least I could see the sky. I don't know if it was above it, but and the cloud was very, very dark, and it was rolling in itself. And again, I have never seen clouds like that except in the Midwest. Rolling in itself, and as it was rolling, it was getting darker and darker, and it was climbing.
Building.
Well, yes, but it looked like it was climbing. And of course, my environment was getting darker because it was, of course, that would be a little inconsistent the way the sun rises and sets, I suppose. But it was, because where I was standing, there was still sky over me, but it was getting darker. And in the cloud, there was a rolling and a rumbling. And when you fly sometimes, and you are in a storm. You don't see the lightning. You look out the window. You don't see the lightning, but you see the evidence of it as it is working behind the clouds, so to speak. And that is what was going on. And it had this very ominous feeling. And I'm thinking, my, this is going to be a very bad storm. And I am thinking, of course, of doing the different things that, to prepare the house for the storm. But that was basically the dream. So,
talking about a storm, this morning when I sat down to pray, the Lord showed me this scripture. I hadn't seen it, I hadn't looked at it in a long time. And it's Psalm 83. It says, "Keep not thou silent, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult." Sounds like a storm to me. "They make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, 'Come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance.' For they have consulted together with one consent, and they are confederate against thee." I don't know about you, that plan has been in place for a long time. The idea that the enemy, our enemy, is confederate, that they are moving with one consent. It just, I don't know about you, but it seems to me that our response should be something similar to that. That we begin to move in with one consent and recognize, like Bert said, this storm, sometimes you don't see really what's going on, but you see the manifestation and the after effects. I think that we sometimes just do not believe the confederacy, the craftiness in which this whole plan against this people has been crafted and sculpted for generations and generations. This is the psalmist saying this. And it just, like, again, like Bert said, the storm continues to fold into itself and build in momentum, getting darker and darker all the time. This is the plan of the enemy, and we've got to open up our eyes and see that there needs to be a response from the people of God.
I normally don't have dreams that I can remember, but the first night I was here after the first day of conference, I had a dream, and I haven't shared it with anyone, but it just keeps being and coming back to me, and so I need to share it. There was a group of people, I believe was brethren, I couldn't say for sure, but we were in a house, and there was a murder had taken place. And it was a female, and there was much blood. And someone in the house, it wasn't me, but someone took a sheet or something and covered her body. But we were non-concerned. We wasn't, I mean, you know, I believe that there should be some kind of heavy feeling when there was a murder had taken place. But we didn't have that heavy feeling. We would even step across her body and reach and get things or just move around the body and without any concern. And I don't know the interpretation. I'm not even going to try to interpret it. But that was the extent of the dream. I believe the body was removed at the last, the way I remember it. But anyway, that's That's the way it was.
I'm not giving up on the podium because when the Lord showed me the way to do this, he said I couldn't get up on the podium. So I don't know what to do.
Is it on? Okay. When Brother Mark was speaking yesterday, I was at home and I was praying for, you know, different ones and everything. And the Lord reminded me of a song that he'd given me. It's been some years ago. And he gave it to me in a dream. It was between Skyler, Nebraska, and some meetings that we were going to have in Dubuque. In December, you know. And and in the dream, it was a big auditorium. It's like a stage, like what you'd see in a theater. And there was a huge stage, but there were only three people that were on it. There was Emily. She was over to the way over to one side, and I was way over to another side, and I think David was in the background somewhere. And in the audience, it was just a smattering of people, just a like a remnant. And before I share this, I just want to say, I want the love of the Lord to cover me in this, because I know that, you know, to share something like this can be very difficult for me. The song was coming forth, and actually the song was, it was Emily's song, but I was singing it. It was supposed to be the song gave you the song, and I was singing the words. And there was one verse, and I'll just share that, and then I'll share the rest. It's, we've lost the vision of Christ in this hour. Lord, give us new Holy Ghost power. We need to go down on our knees in prayer and to repent of our indifference and our failure, to recognize how much we've lost before it is too late. Lord, wake us up. Lord, wake us up. Midnight is almost here. It's getting darker each day while we slumber and play. Wake us up, Lord, before it's too late. And then I woke up and I cried for 2 hours straight. And I thought, I'm done, Lord. There's nothing I can do. I mean, I don't know what to do. You said we've lost it. What are we going to do? So then the Lord finished the song and he gave me hope. And I think we have to have hope, and we have to press on, and we have to do what God is asking us to do. The rest of the song is, as one people with one purpose, under one God, going forth in his name, renewed, restored, back to our first love, set free by his blood and his grace. Let us set aside every weight and the besetting sin and run with patience the race that we're in. And look to Jesus, and look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our race. Start looking to Jesus. Keep looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our race. And the last part I wanted to say is that I didn't want to share this because I told the Lord, unless this song is truly of you and truly to be shared, and if there isn't true repentance, then I don't want to do it, Lord, because I don't want to walk in that place anymore. I don't want to be there. I know that our hearts are to want to go on, but we all have issues we need to deal with, and we're not dealing with them. I just don't think we're dealing with them. So I'm just saying, I think we need to really, really, really search our hearts. Search your own individual heart. Don't look at anybody else. Search your own heart and see what the Lord would speak to you.
I have to come. I'm coming. Sorry, I came back again because I didn't want to share the dream, but I'm feeling that I should share a dream that I had since the first day of the meeting, that it was like a day before the meeting, and it appeared as if there was water and the sea was very rough, and there was a huge wave coming against, it appeared to be brethren, but everyone was like doing his or her own business and nobody was paying attention to the other, and it seemed as if the wave was sweeping off some people, and you will be there, you don't even know that the wave is sweeping off the person next to you. And I understood that there was much pride, selfishness, and there was a scripture right there that came from the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land." At that point, there was a song singing in the dream, "Will you be broken like bread upon the altar?" It was singing, and what came to me was that there is need for submission to the Holy Spirit and submission in true love and repentance, that we must submit to one another through Christ Jesus.
You know, when I was a young man, I was selling the house, and the guy came to buy the house, and he gave me a full price offer. It was in 1979, 1980, when interest was 22%, and Jimmy Carter was president, and the economy was in shambles, and the Lord had told me to build the house, and the guy gave me a full price offer, and he said, "I'm a Christian man, and I don't believe that I can take advantage of you at this time because of the economy, but I need you to do a couple things for me." So I did them. So afterwards, when he moved in, he had some issues. Anybody that's done building, they know you have what's called a punch-out list, and man, I got indignant. You know, I thought, "What's this guy? Who's he think? What's he thinking?" You know, and I mean, we haggled back and forth, and then he came to me, and he said, "Listen, I'm a Christian, and that's the only thing that's keeping me out of court with you, because the Bible may be vague about a lot of things, but it's not vague about that." And you know what? I had to. You talk about instant repentance. I was so ashamed. Of course, I didn't look like it externally. You know, sometimes we do that. I'm telling you, God is talking to us about our attitude. And this thing, we think the spirit of the age is perversion and all this. I think it's complacency. I think it's indifference. And everybody's involved in their own stuff. After me, you come first. And I think God's putting his finger on it. And our tendency is always to look outward. Well, if he'd have done this, I'd have done that. Wait a minute. That guy put the finger of God on me. When he said God's vague about some things, you know, I thought, God's vague? He's not vague about this. And the only reason you're not in court with me today is because of that scripture. You know what I did? I said, write your list out and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. But I determined in advance, I didn't care how long the list was, I was going to do it all with my mouth shut. And actually, I think that God is saying, we're looking at one another, I'm pointing the finger at you, I got a problem with you, you got a problem with me, and it's nonsense. The devil has come to divide and conquer. And if we're divided, we're conquerable as one man. Hallelujah. And with the head, that is Jesus Christ, we present an insurmountable obstacle to the kingdoms of darkness. I mean, that dream of Denver's is talking about indifference to the worst type of behavior. Indifference, casualness. I'm involved in something else. The dreams are talking about indifference. You listen, I can confess my sin up here, but I'd take up the whole morning. You know, and it's not an excuse. You understand. I have attitude issues, disposition issues. I went to have dinner with breakfast with my mother who turned 94. And if she said, you're Irish, once, she said it 7 times. Oh, you're not German, you're Irish. Are you kidding me? You know, these things, the devil's trying to put a mark and an image on us. And it's time that listen, my problems are not you. This is my problem. The word that God is bringing to us is that this is the time to afflict your soul. Not you afflict my soul, me afflict my soul. And I think it's pretty clear, pretty clear. So, I mean, it's not about browbeating, it's about encouragement. I'm telling you, God is telling us the way out. You know what I've discovered? If you're cold, you can't make yourself hot. God has to. We can't even repent on our own. It's God that must give us repentance. You could say, I'm sorry, but godly sorrow that worketh repentance comes from the throne of God. It's a response. Don't you think? Am I talking out of school? You know, if I can say to you, well, you go ahead and do what you want to do. I'm gonna move on with you or without you. Listen, we are a body. And God has called us to function as a body under the headship of Jesus Christ. He said, didn't I call 12? And one's a devil. He didn't never kicked him to the curb. Sorry, George. You understand? That guy's destiny was dependent on what he did with what he was given. So I believe that God's asking us a question. This sister said it. It's a question. Will you be poured out like wine upon the altar? Listen, I've wrestled with your issues for about the last year. And frankly, I haven't solved any of them. But while I'm wrestling with yours, mine are dormant. And you see, I can't change yours or make any inroads in your soul. But if I'm always worried about yours, I'm certainly not going to be dealing with mine. You understand? It's like kids. Well, he did it. That's why God said to me, what's the chaff to the wheat? I'm lamenting. I'm complaining about this thing and that thing and this one and that one. And you might have been one of them I was sniveling about. As a matter of fact, some of you are right here. I was sniveling about you. And he said, what is the chaff to the wheat? All of the stuff you've been talking about, you can't do anything about. You have neglected your own soul. You understand what I mean? And I believe God has said, man, we're in a kind of a rickety, scary place. Because we should be at a certain place and we're not there. And I believe that God has given us an opportunity to make the move.
Would you be poured out like, would you? Would you be poured out like wine upon the altar of me? Would you be broken like bread to feed the hungry? Would you? It's a rhetorical question, but he's not asking us in mass, but I think he's asking us individually. And we are not going to become a body in mass. You understand what I'm saying? Repentance is a singular operation. It involves me as a... But the in mass will become the sum total of the individuals together. You know what I'm saying? So we're not going to repent as in mass. You understand when you got saved by yourself between you and God. Now, you might have been in a group of 100 people that got saved at the same time, but it was an individual operation in every soul, in every life. Everybody entered into this covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think he's asking us, will you be poured out? Listen, I have tried to justify myself and my thoughts and my attitudes for quite some time. Some, you know, Chijoki said, no amens. Yeah. But it says no man's going to justify himself before God. It's not possible. So I think God is talking clearly to us. I mean, we really have some decisions to make. And gosh, it would be nice if we could just go on with church. But I just have yes, it would. It would be a lot easier. But all I'm saying is there are things that God is putting his finger on in this particular meeting and in this gathering. And I think, man, we gotta do business with God. Whew. I mean, I'm more nervous than I've been in a long time. And I don't tend to be nervous. Yes?
I want to just add a comment, something on Bert's dream. He said it was insignificant, but yet I think it's very significant. You know, when a major storm is coming, there's typically certain things you either... a lot of times Christians are going to stand up and rebuke it. Or in this area, I guess you go underground
and rebuke it.
Or you're told to evacuate and flee the area. But none of that was the case. Bert said that he began to make ready the house to weather the storm. So it wasn't one that was going to be turned away. It was definitely something that was coming. And so there was a preparation necessary to go through it. You know, so it's very significant. It's not something we can evacuate. We're not being given the permission to evacuate. Because a lot of times you just want to say, okay, let's flee this thing. Be done with this. But that's not God's, that's not an option. Going underground and hiding in the cellar, the crawl cellar, whatever those things are called, storm cellar, it's not an option. It's time to make ready the house to come through the storm, to flee. And that's what all of this is being spoken of. That all of these different dreams, all these different things, what Peter's saying, it's making ready the house. So, amen.
I would just, Martin was talking about playing church. And, you know, going for the real thing. And, you know, like my brother was saying, we can very easily call the preacher and then go on with our program. But I think we have learned that we should stop and then make amends. I think it's clear to everyone that God has made a breach. Oh no, this morning I woke up and the Lord was speaking to me about David in his desire to bring back the ark. Was a right intention. Saul hadn't done anything about. He didn't think about the ark, was not concerned about the ark. His intention was good. If a man overseership desires, it's a good desire. When we desire to minister to the brethren, serve God, do the will of God, it's good. But in that, he did not do it according to due order, and God made a breach. And being a priest, even though he was not from that tribe of Levi, but being a priest, according to another order, that of Melchizedek, David dropped the ark. And then he went to God to ask him, how should we do it? And then the Bible says God showed him that the ark should be borne on the shoulder. Shoulder is part of what you find in a particular offering called the peace offering. It's called the heave offering. When you bring the animal for sacrifice, you take the inwards. You know, some of us are afraid of the inwards. That we don't want to bring it out. But the Bible, it says you bring the inwards, the liver, the kidneys, the fat, and you put it all on the altar. And then you bring the heave, the shoulder, and then you wave it before the Lord. The heave, the shoulder speaks of responsibility, owning up. Responsibility. Say, I am responsible here. Not to point the finger, say, I am responsible. I say, Lord, I am responsible. I'm asking for your forgiveness. That is the peace offering. It's the highest offering. And you see the peace offering running from the burnt offering, from the brazen altar, on the Day of Atonement, is the highest offering that is made. Apart from the sin offering, the sin offering is to prepare the way for the heave offering. The offering that is given to the Lord. Everything. The brethren here in Mahomet, you need to take responsibility. You need to take responsibility. And the responsibility begins from the house, from the head. Begins from the head. And my dad taught me, I was very embarrassed when my dad would come to my room and he would tell me, I am sorry. I almost felt like, you know, the grand opening, I just disappeared. I just couldn't. But you see, it taught me how to say sorry. It's not, well, I don't have a problem saying sorry to anyone. But it came from an example that my father showed to me. And those of us who are fathers in Mahomet, we need to bring the heave offering. Where words have been spoken or actions taken that have hurt people. Now, the Lord taught me, I had a problem with that. Now, if I'm bringing a word and someone says, I was offended, well, I didn't like what you said. And if I felt that what I said was wrong, was right, now God taught me that for the fact that someone in the audience had a problem with it, it was a basis for me to repent. So even if in my perception it was right, but the fact that someone didn't quite like the way it was brought, that was an opportunity for me, an evidence that I had to do something to help that individual get over that problem. So I think we need to bring that peace offering this morning. And the leaders in Mahomet need to do it. It is appropriate. And I don't even think it's just that alone. There are other issues in other places, and I'm sure the Lord will want us to, for it to trickle down. How about the home, in the bedrooms? You know, with children, with families, relations, uncles, aunties, brothers, sisters, cousins, even in the workplace, business relationships, it goes all down. And, you know, when Brother Denver shared his dream about the cops, my wife said, it's very clear that the cops was the murder was committed by the body, that we have turned one another, we have murdered one another, and we're indifferent to it. We just carry on as though nothing has happened. I have a very strong anointing to hurt other people. I can be very hard. And when I'm hard, I don't feel anything. It's the spirit of murder. It's the spirit of murder. I can really deal with it, and I don't feel anything. And it's something ancestral. You know, so it's something I'm dealing with. And, so God is helping us to come to the point where we don't play church. And I think this morning we need to bring a peace offering. And it must start from the leadership.
Before you come up, let me take care of something. It's no secret we've been having some difficulty here, and the awareness, my tendency is probably to drape that thing and turn off the whole thing, but it's okay. I think that I have that same anointing or a similar one to run over people. Now, I listen, this whole thing has been very difficult for me. It has been, I have perceived it as a personal assault. And Henry Gruber's words ring through my ears that you can't take it personal. Well, I have discovered that's very easy to say. So somebody very close to me that I love very much said to me the other day, you have whined for 3.5 years and you haven't done anything to solve the problem. As a matter of fact, you're a part of the problem. And it was a stunner. What? I'm a part of the problem? You know, I can see you pretty clearly, but my mirror gets awful foggy. And so I have been very rough on people. Very hard. When somebody began to contend to me, I just said, I don't need to put up with this. I can go my own way. So for a while, I went my own way, and I just left this. I mean, I have not been here for quite, a while. I mean, not every Sunday. I was off doing this or that or the other thing. And all these things appear to be good. I see, I'm going into the prison and doing this and that and the other thing, and those things in and of themselves were very good, but they really were a great blessing to me and a strength to me. So my attitude was not right. My heart was not right. Brother Campbell said to me one time, "You are like a canker and a open wound." This is 20 years ago. "And you have brought forth much poison." What? So for the poison, and I'm talking about, I've poisoned relationships, and I have been a whiner. I mean, that's tough to admit, because I don't like whiners. And a whiner just complains but doesn't do anything. So for my part in all of this business, the brothers that I have offended, the people that I have not tended, the sheep that have been left to their own device while I sulked and pouted and didn't do anything, I want to repent. I want to ask you to forgive me because I have a responsibility here. This is not easy. You may think it's easy. It is not easy. You know, to say I was wrong. I was wrong. My attitude was not right. My disposition was not right. My thought process was not right. And yet I come up and minister the word. And when you're in that condition, then there's a mingling and a mixture. And it's not a pure word. And we need the pure word, you know. Does that mean that these other people were right? That's not my business. My business is to take care of my business. Because I can tell you for sure my attitude wasn't right. But by God's grace, from this moment on, I am endeavoring to find the unity of the Spirit, a redemptive attitude, and most importantly, a humble spirit. I can tell you one thing, that humility has not been a part of my repertoire. It has been arrogance, defiance, belligerence, and pride. And for that, I want to apologize to you, ask you to forgive me, and repent before God. And say, oh God, deliver me from the black Irish spirit that has plagued my family for years. It's got to come to an end with me. I have polluted my children with my attitude, my grandchildren even. And I say, God, deliver me from blood guiltiness. And I ask you to forgive me and to pray for me because it can't stay the same. You understand?
Shall we pray?
My God. Oh, my God. You have heard and you have seen it all. You have heard the confession that this man has made with his lips, Lord, and I believe with his heart. And he has asked us to surround him in prayer that he might be made into the image of Christ. Oh God. Lord, that he would put off the old man. He's made that decision, Lord.
That's definitely.
Put off the old man with all of the natures that have been mentioned this day, Lord. All of the things of Adam. All of the things of darkness, oh God. Now, Lord, that he would put on Christ. With your help, Lord, he can put on Christ. And he will be a different man, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we remember how you spoke in the word of Zechariah.
Yes.
That Joshua, the priest, was standing.
My God.
And Satan stood at his side. And he was clothed not with a clean garment, Lord, but with a filthy garment. And you said in your word, Lord, you said the Lord rebuke you, mm-hmm. Satan. So we would say with our brother Peter, to Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Mm-hmm. This influence will no longer overshadow this man. But the Spirit of Christ shall henceforth, from this moment on, be predominant in his life, Lord, in his soul.
My God.
My God, in his soul. It's the soul, Lord. The salvation of this soul, oh God.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. That thou would loose him from this familial spirit.
Yes.
My God, the Lord rebuke you, Satan.
Yes. Yes.
The Lord rebuke you, familial Irish spirit. The Lord rebuke you, familial German spirit.
Yes.
Loose.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And this man shall be freed from it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Father, we We do pray for Brother Peter today. Father, he wants to bring an acceptable offering unto thee. And Lord, I pray for his emotions.
Yeah.
I pray, Lord, even according to the word that was brought in this conference, that, Lord, that we're not to bring an offering by that which has been torn by beast.
My God.
My God, we pray for Peter today, Lord. We pray for the smiting deep within his very essence of his soul today. That, God, that repentance would have its perfect work.
Yes.
That, God, that you would do such a deep work within him.
God.
For, Father, surely we see, Father, the calling and election upon this man's life.
God.
Father, the church recognizes the gift of the evangelist,
my God.
And that which you called him to, Father, for this hour, Lord, that we are in. Father, there is something special about that which God has placed in the church.
Hallelujah.
The fivefold ministry. And that which you have placed within the deposit of this man, of this gifting. My God, we pray today for your divine anointing to bring the deliverance, to bring the healing, that God, that the gift of God will come forth in all of its totality and power and anointing, O God.
Mm-hmm.
I pray today for my brother Peter. I bless him today in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask, O God, that you would search down into the depths of every aspect of the personality that the devil has laid claim to. And we agree with Peter today that he would find total deliverance and healing.
Amen.
And that, Lord God, that as he walks before thee in a humble and a contrite heart, you will show him what to do, Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
My God.
That, God, that we might see the totality of the cry in his heart today.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, we bless him.
Yes.
We ask that you grant him the grace and the anointing to walk in the midst of the fire and be found that he is not burnt, O God.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Lawyer Watts says that when Isaiah says in the year that the Lord, that King Isaiah died, I also saw the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Are we praying? That today will mark a new dispensation for our brother.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes on to say that you sent the seraphims.
Yeah.
Say one flew and took coal from that golden altar, and he went and touched his lips and brought a cleansing.
Amen.
Lord, we ask, O God, for cleansing, that this festering wound will be healed.
Yes, O God.
That it will no longer bring forth any poisoning.
My God.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Lord, you said that the leaves of that tree was for the healing of the nations. We ask for a healing, O God.
Yes.
Lord, let this one be a vessel through which streams of life will come forth, O God.
Yes.
Clean and pure waters.
Yes, Lord.
That will make glad the city of God. Lord, we pray for his relationships with his children, with his in-laws, with his brethren, with his ministry associates. With his business associates, the Lord, that there will be healed. We ask that the blood of Jesus will wipe away every offense, every grievance.
Yeah.
Lord, that there will not even be a record. That everyone who has come under this ministry of offense would not even remember. It will be a thing of the past.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Hallelujah.
It will be as though it never happened.
My God.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Lord Jesus.
Lord, we pray for the brethren here in Mahomet. We pray, O God, that the years of the locusts, the years with tenderness and fruitfulness and growth, the years in which there has been scattering We ask, Lord, that it will be healed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We ask, Lord, that you will recover and restore the years of the cancer.
Yeah.
Lord, let the news go forth that bread has been restored to Bethlehem.
Yeah.
That you have brought back bread to Judah. Lord, let all the roots, let all the Naomis, all those who have strayed and have driven and have wandered to Moab, we ask, O God, that there will be a restoration.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. That you will restore, O God. You will restore.
Yes.
The bread and the wine, the oil, even sweet wine refined on the lees. Lord, that on this mountain, the covering that has been cast will be broken. Lord, that there will be clear heavens. Lord, that the purpose for setting up Mahomet, O God, that it will come, it will be fulfilled.
Yes, yes.
That it will not fall to the ground. As you said to Samuel, say, I will raise a priesthood that will do all that is in my heart. All that is in your heart regarding Mahomet, O God, that it will be established to the fullest. Lord, we address these spirits that we are commissioned to come to scatter Mahomet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This evil wind.
Yes, we take authority.
These spirits that came from the earth. That have run over the land. That have slain, maimed, stunned.
Jesus.
We call upon the name of the Lord. We say, the Lord rebuke you.
Amen.
The Lord that made the heavens and the earth rebuke you.
Yes.
Lord, you said we should speak. You said there were four horns that will throw down anyone that will raise their head in Judah and Jerusalem. Lord, we bring forth these four horns that have risen in Mahomet to say it shall not be a place to be remembered. It shall not be a place that will fulfill its commission. Lord, you said we should pray that the Lord will send the carpenters, will send those who will chisel it, who will cut it short, who will beat it short, who will beat it into the ground, that the east wind of the Lord will blow it away.
Amen.
Lord, we ask, Lord, that you will release such a ministry. That these horns will be frayed. That these horns will be beaten and ground to powder.
Yes.
Lord, and out of it, you said, until the Spirit be released from on high, until the Spirit be poured upon us, Lord, that you will release a new spirit of fellowship.
Amen.
Of brotherly love and kindness.
Amen.
Lord, the bowels of love.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, that you will release it, O God.
Mm-hmm.
That it will flow like a river.
Yeah. Mm.
That the wilderness will become a fruitful field. And the fruitful field will become a forest. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That there will be righteousness. That there will be quietness and assurance.
Yes.
Forever. That the people of God will dwell in peaceable dwelling places. Everyone in his order and in his place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Every joint supplying.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the body will grow, ministering to itself. Grow it all, growing up unto the measure of the fullness of Christ.
Yes.
Lord, we receive it today, Lord, with thanksgiving.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I have one more thing I want to pray for you, Peter. I'm just seeing a little vision here of a big piece of scar tissue. I have dealt with burn patients at one time in my life, and it gets a big, big scar. And when the burn came, there was a lot of pain. And the scar has changed the sensitivity of that area. It's kind of destroyed the nerves.
Yeah.
And I believe that there has been a building up of some kind of scarring to protect what's inside from pain. Mm-hmm. And I'm asking, Lord, that you would remove that.
Mm-hmm.
I know it sounds strange to let Peter feel pain.
Yeah.
But Lord, I want him to feel the pain of other people too.
Yeah.
That he can be sensitive, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And what they feel, he'll be able to feel.
Mm-hmm.
And give him a sensitive spirit, Lord.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. And Brother Peter, from this day forward, you are no longer German.
Amen.
You are no longer Irish.
Hallelujah.
You are no longer even American.
Yes.
And God forbid, if you ever were, you're no longer Republican or Democrat.
Amen.
You are a citizen of the New Jerusalem.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
And if any thought should come and tell you otherwise,
amen.
It is not from our Father.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And look to New Jerusalem. That's our home.
Amen. Amen.
What are you going to do, Lord Jesus? What am I going to do?
Hallelujah.
Forgive me. Yeah, the thought just comes to me as far as the pool of Bethesda, when it was troubled there, and we heard yesterday or the day before about the invitation. And that it was the last invitation, I think, is what was said. And I think there's an opportunity when the pool gets troubled that we respond. So, you know, praise the Lord for the response in our brother Peter. But it is, again, a response that is a challenge to each one of us. And I don't know what other there may be that would need to, you know, come up and respond. But be sensitive, respond to the Lord, whatever he's saying. You know, it's an opportunity that is now, that won't be tomorrow or the next day, to make your confession known, or whatever business you have to do with God and before the congregation. May we be just sensitive to that and respond to the Spirit of the Lord here this morning. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I have something in my heart to share. I believe that the Lord has it, and I think it's important probably to share it now, because I do believe God is bringing us to a place of repentance. God has been mighty in our midst from the very onset of this conference, irregardless of the hearts of men, women, the condition of the church. God is always faithful to bring his deliverance. And he brings his deliverance by the word of God. I think that the word says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And as I look back from the start of the first meeting, God has been softening the hearts of his people. Can we say amen to that? We need to let the word have its perfect work. You see, because we want God's vantage point. There's so many needs in our midst, local level, individual levels, corporate level, and God is aware of every one of them. He's aware of every heart, every need, either known or unknown. But God is in the restoration business. And now I want to, and I'm very intrepidatious here, because I feel the move of the Spirit. And I know that there is something that God is wanting to speak to us on very many levels. First and foremost, I believe, is the heavenly calling that God has called each one of us to. See, that's paramount. There's needs on an individual level. We know that the Bible says if a brother has aught, we should go to the brother. There are needs. But most of all is the need of the adherence to the apostolic word of God, which you and I have been called to. When Brother Mark was ministering yesterday on the wedding feast, the invitation. I mean, we have all heard it many, many times. But I believe we were hearing something yesterday by the anointing of God that was bringing a fear to us that we could miss it. Is there an amen to that? Okay. I went back last night and I looked at the one part in Matthew 22. And it said, of course, it went through, you know, the different callings and election. And there was the part in verse 11, it says, "And when the king came in to see the guest," when the king came in to see the guest, that's when he saw the king, a man with which had not on a wedding garment. You see, God is dealing with each and every one of us here in whatever is our deficiency or deficiencies in our lives. Sister Geraldine started out with the dream this morning, and the table being set, but she said many never came to the table. It speaks to me, we need to examine our hearts. Examine our hearts, whether we be in the faith or not. For whatever reason that you are here, God has allowed you to be here to hear the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. And we're hearing the word on many levels. We're hearing it through the word of God. We're hearing it through the prophetic voice. And last night, I felt the fear of God come over the congregation. Did you feel it? Just a couple felt it? The word says we've lost the fear of God. Now, with all my own personal problems that I have, my first and foremost problem is if my relationship with God is not on the level that He desires it to be. And that brings us in to the ability to understand the apostolic calling that God is calling a people in this hour. Hallelujah. Brother Jijoki started the meeting off and he began to talk out of Ezekiel 1. And he talked about the vision of the four creatures and the wheel and the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. He said that the understanding of chapter 1 in Ezekiel was the soul. And see, the soul, or our understanding about the soul, has come by the apostolic word to the end time church. You wouldn't think something so simple as understanding the soul is so profound, and the ability for us to receive Christ in the aspects of our soul. I want to share with you, well, I'll go back, because as I was praying for the conference, one morning the Lord said, you need to share with the brethren the dream that you received when you were in London. And I would like to read it to you. It's in three parts. And I pray, the first two parts are pretty self-explanatory. But I believe that the dream is saying what the convention is saying. And so let me read it to you. and you can witness it for yourself. I had this dream when we were in London, when we gathered together to pray concerning the work overseas with various brethren that had come from a number of different nations. And in this dream, I had found myself suspended in the air up over this residential area out in the country where I lived. I was up maybe a couple hundred feet. My observation of what was happening was on several dimensions at the same time. First, I was aware of the natural surroundings. It was a beautiful day with all of the natural beauty radiating in the day. As I looked down, even the residential sections of the house looked perfect in this setting. I was totally aware at this point of an ability to fly that was given to me. It would put to shame even the most latest technological flying machines of our day. Whatever I chose to do, I could do. I was about 100 to 150 feet from the ground, and I stayed in that position like a person would stand on the ground. And at the same time, I knew I could go up or down, back or forth, horizontally, vertically, at any given moment and at any given speed. Also, while I had this ability to perform this flying, there was another dimension working with me. The Spirit of God was there interacting with me as near as my own mind. My communication was first and foremost with the Spirit of God. Yes. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God asked me what I wanted to see. I was interested in the block of houses that was below me. You remember I said they looked perfect? And immediately as I thought of that, I was lowered to a more intimate view, but I still was being suspended above the houses. I saw a brother who had come into view. He drove up, and he was also viewing the houses, but he was viewing from his natural level, as one who was interested in purchasing one. From my viewpoint, though, I could see more than the natural. I was seeing several dimensions. When a house looked like one to be desired in from an outward peaceful setting, I could see the inside, the problems with any part of the building stage or what you would say was hidden from view. It seemed that when this brother, when he made a closer observation from his natural setting, he could see that the houses were not all what they were made out to be. And immediately my heart rejoiced that this brother had perceived rightly, even though he was not seeing everything that I was seeing. He made a right decision. You understand? And from perceiving, he made the right decision concerning it. Now, the Spirit of the Lord then asked me where I wanted to go. I saw a particular street that looked pleasant and inviting, and immediately as I thought it, I was moved to the street level. I now was walking on the sidewalk in the midst of this residential area. The surroundings were in a natural realm, but still, I was still seeing from a higher level. And what I saw at that point, brethren, my heart sank. Because this realm that I was now walking in was such a low frequency that the building materials seemed to be inferior in every way. Do you remember last night Brother Bert was talking about low bite? It was when he said it last night, I said, my goodness, that's what I was seeing in the dream. It was such of a low frequency that it just... Now, the people themselves that were living in the place, they were not in a state of happiness. They were going about in their lives what natural people do. I saw in particular a family consisting of a man and a woman and their 18-year-old daughter. The woman and the daughter were communing in their house while the man was in the garage. So, you know, I could see it was almost like the street was there. Here was the house. I could see the mother and the daughter. I could see the father in the garage. And I could sense the friction in their lives and the natural conversations that brought more additional divisions among them. What I was seeing was the back talk, you understand? I was seeing this happening. And at that point, I communed with the Spirit of the Lord that this was indeed a low place of living, and I wanted to rise up out of these surroundings. So at the end of the block, I saw several large disposal containers, you know, sort of like the one out here, these big dumpsters, you know. And they were up against a white fence. And I just wanted to get out of there. So I climbed the dumpster, and I stood on top of this dumpster, and I began, I prayed to the Lord to lift me up in the Spirit again. Immediately, I sensed the Spirit ready to lift me up at will. But before I began to lift, I noticed the 18-year-old girl watching my actions. My heart went out for her in her condition. I must have spoke to her something of the word of the Lord, and I asked her, "Give me your hand." And as she reached out and I touched her, brethren, she rose up with me just enough for her to know that this was a spiritual uplifting. We were still just a little bit above the containers, but as I held on to her and she held on to me, she lifted up. And this happening opened up her spirit. It opened up her spirit that it enabled me to minister the need for her to repent of her sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. She responded to the word, and at that point, this part of the dream ended. Now, this is a three-part dream. I thought it was three dreams. And when I shared it in London, the brother gave the interpretation of the third part. I think the first part really doesn't need much interpretation. Hallelujah. But I want to comment at least one thing that I believe is what God has called you and I to. He has called us to the First Fruit Company. He has called us to walk with Him in spirit and in truth. And everything in the dream was what I sensed. My God, the Spirit of God is as near to me as my own mind. Now, I know my mind. I know how the mind can go in and out with the thoughts of God. But to be so in tune with God is the very calling and election to the church to come up higher. Isaiah says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." God is encouraging us that what he has spoken to the church, we can have now. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I found in the dream, this really is such a low level of existence of living. It really is. Compared to that which God has set before us. And the other thing that so touched me was the need of this young lady. Hallelujah. But I knew in the Spirit, as I was in the Spirit, I knew her need. And all I had to do was reach out. And as she responded, hallelujah. You know, I was thinking, when we look out, where are our young people? Where is the generation of our young people? You know, the devil has tied us up so much to think it's this and this and this. And all the while the devil laughs because he's been the master that has robbed the generation that has come out of the issue of our beings. But I believe in the word of God that God is going to restore the years the locust and the canker worm and the caterpillar has eaten. All things are possible to those who believe. But in order for that to happen, there first has to be a change in us. I remember back in 1994, there was a conference, a youth conference here in Monticello. And we had many young people. And as the word was ministering, I remember the response among the young people was blocked. Where's Bob Unger at? There's Bob. You were there, weren't you? And do you remember? I remember, brother, we asked Brother DeCille, we are not seeing a release. We don't see the children responding in praise and worship. And Brother DeCille says, the reason the children don't respond is because you are not responding. You are not being set free. And the Spirit of God fell in the midst of the meeting. Oh, yeah, Peter's raising a hand. Do you remember that, Brother Bert, the flying? Ha, my God. And brother, you know, the Spirit of God, the Word of God was coming. And we got up and we began to repent. And we started to sing. What was that song we sang about the flying one? I can't remember it, but we had wings. We started, I haven't seen that around in a long time. My soul's escape like a bird. I remember Bert getting up and exhorting, you have wings, don't you? Fly. And we started to fly. I remember Brother Bob Unger back there began to dance in the Lord. And all of a sudden, I started to dance. And I forgot I was behind the camera. And I'm dancing. All of a sudden, I look, and there's Brother DeCille running the camera. We were getting set free. Free from the hindrances. But it was a youth conference. You were there, Hannah. You were, what, 2 weeks old? 3 weeks old? It was Johanna's first youth conference. My God. We need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray for repentance. I mean, true repentance. You see, God wants us to make our repentance full. He wants to make sure what it is that I need to repent of is not exactly what you need to repent of. And I can't repent for you, nor you for me. I have to get before the living God and repent. What do I need to repent of? Myself. Oh God, change that other person. Wrong. Your repentance is already disqualified the moment you look out. Because when David repented in Psalm 51, he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned, O God. Amen. Remember what it says. He said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You know, brethren, the word came before. We have become complacent and compromising. We have allowed the world to creep into the church. And then we wonder why the anointing and the strength is not there to deliver. God help us. God help us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me share the second part. It says here, the scene changed or another dream had begun. I saw a group of brethren that were working together to minister the word of God to people. They would advertise for the meeting in an unusual way to get the people to come to the meetings. It was sort of really unorthodox what they were doing, you know. Do you remember Brother DeCille used to share about going after the kids, get a bus, go get a swimming pool, bring them there, and then while they're there, give them the word of God? It's sort of an unorthodox way of doing it, you know. But he saw the anointing in it. So in this, to some it would seem like they were doing it in a carnal way, such as those that would use a pyramid scheme. I don't know why I wrote that. That's what came to me that morning, you know. Something sort of outlandish. But Then I was given again to see in another dimension. I saw among these brethren those who would go into their prayer closet to seek the Lord, and that there was an impartation given to them. And from that impartation, they would then seek it out in the Word of God, and then from the Word of God, proceed to give it to the people. Hallelujah. This became the bread of life to the people as they would sit under the anointings in the meetings. This thereby brought forth successful meetings in the Spirit. I knew that this was the formula to being led of the Spirit. Do you hear that? Let us let it think in. Let me read that again. I saw among these brethren those who would go into their prayer closet to seek the Lord, and that there was an impartation given to them. And from that impartation, they would then seek it out in the Word of God, and then from the Word of God proceed to give it to the people. This became the bread of life to the people as they would sit under the anointing in the meetings. Hallelujah. Romans says, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Brethren, we need to ask God to deliver us from churchianity, religiosity, any thought of my ministry, my calling election that brings forth strange fire in the midst of the church. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something that happened to me. Where were we going? It was last fall. Brother Mark, where are you at? Mark Yancey. Do you remember when we were in New York and we were traveling over to check? And as we were in New York, the Lord spoke something to me. Very simple, but I thought on it so much that night. I said, Brother Mark, we sat together and I said, you know, the Lord spoke something to me. He said, you know, the fivefold ministry has no personal motivation. The true fivefold ministry has no motivation. That's how you distinguish that which God has called versus that they take it upon themselves. We need to hear the Spirit of God in this hour to discern between the true ministry and that which is of the false ministry. No motivation, no self-exaltation, but to do the will of God. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, this therefore, by what they did, brought forth successful meetings in the Spirit. And I knew that this was the formula to being led of the Spirit. Now, you know, those are two very good dreams, wouldn't you say? Yes. And, you know, first of all, I want to share it. The Bible says no dream is given for personal interpretation. And truthfully, brethren, whatever the Lord speaks, it's for the church. It wasn't just for me, even though I told someone that morning, I want to get back to sleep. I want to go flying again. I wanted to go, but God wouldn't let me do it. Do you know why? Because I got to take care of what's stopping the flow of it happening. He doesn't want it just to be in a dream. He wants a reality in my life. And the other part of the second part, I just want to share. I think when I see this part, I think of the vision of the 1,000 pounds of food that the vision that Brother DeSeal had. You know, whatever it is, you search your hearts. But there's a calling when you have been given a calling and election through the apostolic word that has come to you. If you go anywhere else, woe be unto you. And I'll add this particular one, which the Lord gave me several years ago. I think it was while Brother DeSille was still here. But in this particular dream, I saw Brother DeSille. And he was standing holding a paper bag, a little brown paper bag. You know, those things that cost, what, a penny? But in it, he was going out, and he was taking out of that brown paper bag golden earrings. And he would go up, and he would put it on a person's ear, and once the golden earring was put on their ear, they were able to hear. It was like hearing in the spirit. And it was exciting when I was seeing that. The people were coming alive. But then I saw something of the most distressing thing. In the dream, I saw people put it back in the bag. For whatever reason, I said, oh my God. The very thing that has given them an ear to hear, they're giving it back. Hallelujah. The word has come to us that the way that we flow in the anointing is in the presence of God. And it starts in our prayer closet. Whatever it is that God has us to do. You talk of various gifts and ministries, governments of help. Whatever God has anointed you. I think of Sister Mary when I think of the government of helps. Sister Mary's story has been in our fellowship for almost 32 years, right, Mary? The sister works tirelessly day and night. If you ever had needed a need, you lived in the Dubuque area, she'd be right there for you. Night and day, day and night, whatever it might be. It's a gifting. There's various giftings in the body. But do you know your gifting does not come to fruition except through the obedience to the Spirit of God? And if we're not obedient with God, the gift then can still be operable, still be of a benefit, but not to the benefit of the level that God has called you to. Because you see, all of us has been called to press into the holiest of all. And this part, I believe, can only come as we allow the dealing of God in our lives so that our offering at the golden altar of incense can be acceptable before Him. Hallelujah. Now, these were two dreams, and I had one more. And this one, I could have ripped my shirt, brethren. I mean, I go from flying to being in a prayer closet to the anointing coming out and flowing. And I had this third dream, and I was stymied. I mean, the first two seemed very... I could know what it means, but I had this one more dream, and I'm going to read it. And I'll give you the interpretation the brother gave at the meeting. So I proceeded to have one more dream. I found myself in a large hardware store where I was observing this husband and wife. The wife had taken upon herself to build a chicken coop. The wife had taken upon herself to build a chicken coop. She had on this cart everything that she needed to build it. Fencing, hutches, feeding containers, etc. But then I saw the husband, and he was very distraught. The woman had made the decision on her own to do the project without his knowledge or consent. And the disturbing thing was that the woman did not seem to realize the mistake she had made or was continuing to make. So when we came to the meeting that day and I shared this, I said, this last one puzzles me. And one of the brothers in the meeting, as I said it, of course, after I shared the third one, sort of similar here, you can almost feel a pin drop. But I had no understanding. And the brother said, This is very simple. It's not three dreams, it's one. He said, and I'm reminded of an old word that was talked about, eagle saints arise. God has never called us to build a chicken coop. The woman is the church. The husband's the Lord. She went on of her own making to choose to build the chicken coop. Hallelujah. I think that these dreams, now I could be wrong, but when I hear all the messages that are coming forth, I'm hearing this dream. And I'm hearing that there is a place that we as a people need to ask God, whatever it is. You know, it's sort of like, if the shoe fits, wear it. You know, if this message is speaking to you, you are challenged to do something about it. So I know repentance, that God is calling a repentance. But let us really seek our heart. For when the altar call and the time is here to really repent, that we do a thorough job of it. Because, you know, if I truly repent, you know, I'm not going to have rose-colored glasses. I'll be able to see clearly. And didn't Jesus say that when he said, before you take the speck, right? The speck out of your brother's eye, first take the beam out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly, so you can help take that speck out of your brother's eye. Amen. Yes? Oh, yes. Chickens can't fly. Praise the Lord. Chickens can't fly. You know, if you go into the pattern, Brother Duseal wrote something, I was reading it last night, about the abominable birds. You know, it says that about the birds that can't fly. And he says they are carnal Christians. And they were given the ability, but they, you know, They then became an abomination. They become an abomination unto the Lord. Because it says that any birds that cannot fly, they're an abomination unto you. And so, hallelujah. I don't want to be a chicken. They're usually ending up in the pot to be eaten anyway, right? I do not want to be eaten by the devil. I want to fly like an eagle. That's what we're called to do, Brother Gary, is to fly like an eagle. And the only way we can is we got to become encumbered. Is that what it is? Is that the right word? Unencumbered. Laying aside every weight in the sin that's so easily beat us. We've been fools, brethren. We've been absolute fools in the warfare that we're going on. Because we've been seeing it on this level, and we don't see it from God's level. The only thing that I know is I have to first and foremost make my calling and election sure what God has called me to. As the Apostle Paul said, I have not been disobedient to the heavenly calling. Amen. And really, this is the biggest challenge here of all. This is what the devil would want to do, is to destroy the very church that has been given this word. Hallelujah. And the only way he can do it is if we allow him. So let us repent, brethren. Let us get down on our knees and ask God. I do not want to see Geraldine's dream come to pass. There's hardness of heart here. Whatever it is, ask God. Sometimes you don't even know the depths, but you just cry out, God, I just ask you, deliver me of me, first and foremost. Amen.